everyone, and welcome to the Neurodiverse Teacher Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Kristen Eccleston, aka the Neurodiverse Teacher. And today, my guest is Vanessa Elston. Vanessa is a gifted healer who can transform people's emotional and physical well-being by using her unique energy field healing method. Vanessa works with a variety of people from all walks of life, and Vanessa uses a form of healing that merges ancient wisdom to provide a bespoke, consultative approach that delivers long-lasting, fast-tracked results. Welcome, Vanessa, to the Neurodiverse Teacher Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on here. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so grateful for you. I really love conversations centered around energy. I think there's so much more to energy than we even realize. And I'm a Reiki 2 practitioner, so I'm very into the idea of energy and what energy can do to heal people. So the first question I want to ask you is, what is your why behind what you do? And what I mean by that is what is your life story that kind of led you to realizing that you had this power to heal and led you to having this interest in energy?
Well, it's really interesting because I was always told that I was a healer, but I come from quite a sort of stiff religious family. And so there wasn't really much space for it. And we didn't really know anybody that did it, apart from I had an aunt who was had married into our family from a gypsy family. But her gift had been so extraordinary that it had made her an outcast. So she went to live in Australia in the middle of the bush. So I didn't meet her till like years and years later. Anyway, I was quite happy and busy being a very successful businesswoman. You know, I had an award-winning interiors business. I was flying all over the place. It was really, really exciting. And then one day, I woke up and I just couldn't move. I couldn't, you know, when you get up in the morning, just be so grateful for when you swing your legs out of bed and stand up, because when you can't, it's horrific. And I really couldn't. And it took me about an hour and a half to get out of bed. It was a nightmare. Anyway, so went to the doctors, ended up at the hospital. They did loads of tests and they said, you've got degenerative arthritis. And get ready, you're going to end up with a stick and then probably in a wheelchair. And I thought, no, I'm not. You know, I'm not having that. I used to be a gymnast and I'm going to be cartwheeling till I'm 90, you know, if I at all possible. So I was obviously really depressed and really miserable and sort of fighting this horrible not being able to move, but in terrible, terrible pain every time I did. And then through a strange set of circumstances, I got introduced to Sophia Noel, who's an amazing healer based in Beirut. And I had a session with her, and the friend who introduced me, it was really funny, said, you'll never get an appointment. She's really in demand. You'll probably have to wait 6 weeks, which sort of almost brought me to tears again. And so I WhatsApp messaged her and she came straight back and she said, I've got a cancellation. If you can get on Zoom now, I'll see you. So I was like, thank you, universe. Anyway, after one session, and I was like propped up on cushions, hair sticking up on end, I looked a complete mess. She was able to fix me a little bit. And I could actually, after the first session, pick up a cup, you know, which is another amazing thing that we should always be grateful for, because when you can't, it's a real biggie. And then after 5 sessions, she got me to a stage where I could walk again. And that was just incredible. And that's when she landed the sort of big news on me. She said, listen, the reason you're ill is you've been stopped in your tracks because you have to accept your gift. You're a really powerful healer. You've always ignored it, but you have to step into it now because there's lots of other things attached to that that you need to do, and you can't do it unless you become a healer. And I'm here to teach you. So bless her. She taught me everything she knew. And I just loved it. Found it really easy. You know, just did everything at warp speed. It was like riding a bike, you know, when you get that, when you finally get your pedals in alignment and you're going racing down the hill, that amazing feeling. Every bit of the learning was like that. And it was just fantastic. And then when I actually found out that I could do it and heal people, my goodness, the best high you can ever have. I mean, amazing. I've recently cured somebody with polymyalgia who'd been in bed for 3 months. And she messaged me the other day to say she'd been on a 2-mile walk. It was like, just made my day, you know, it's amazing. And every time I'm quite surprised by what I can do, to be honest with you.
Wow. I have, like, as you were telling the story, I was just getting full body goosebumps just hearing that. Cause I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there who think there's no way And there really is. I mean, if you think about the world, it's full of energy, energy we can't see, energy that is there and available. I mean, we are energy in its rawest form. So I think it's so amazing and powerful that you're able to do that. And one of the things I wanted to ask you specifically, because on this podcast, we talk a lot about differences in your brain, mental health aspects. And I saw on your website that you can use vibrational energy to help heal anxiety and depression or things like childhood trauma. And I was just curious, is there a certain way you have to go about when you're working specifically in that field versus if it was a different area that somebody needed help with, or just what does that process look like?
I think it's all based in empathy, really. You know, that's what you've really got to have in huge measure. And I'm really grateful for the fact that I've lived a long and interesting life, and I've had quite a few, you know, disastrous things happen to me that I can draw on. You know, we often, when we're in the middle of something awfully happening, you know, we can't see why it's happened. We feel like complete victims, you know, why me, poor me, all that sort of thing. And what you have to realize is that, you know, these are things to make you stronger. It's a bit hard to realize it at the time. And that we all have the power to overcome these learnings. And when we have, we'll be much stronger. And there'll be a reason, you know, there'll be a different level of understanding that you have. But to answer your question, it's always starting with empathy. It's always making sure that the person knows that they're in a really safe space, that it's really confidential and that they can say anything to me. Nothing will shock me. I've heard it all. And I'm really saddened to say that I've heard it all. You know, some people have been through some really awful, awful things. But what they like about working with me is it's not like going to therapy where you've got to open it all up again and sort of, this is my client's words, not mine, spill your guts on the table, because it takes a long time to pack that up again once that Pandora's box has been opened. So what they like about the way I work is, and I just use my pendulum and a set of maps. So while I'm working, you'll hear me say, you know, is it on the left? Is it on the right? I'm trying to find out where the energy is held in the body and then what the emotional statement is. And then once I've established that, I can establish when it trapped, you know, when did that bad energy trap in the body? And once I've done that, I can just say to a client, right, what happened to you when you were eight? It feels the emotions are great sadness, you know, despair, feeling like you've been left alone, deserted. And they might say something like, I was really close to my grandmother. She virtually brought me up because I was my mum's a single mum. And she died when I was eight. And I just felt desperately alone. And, you know, that's when I became a latchkey kid. And I really desperately missed everything that she gave me. And I was in a sad place for quite a long time. That sort of energy can really scar you, particularly when you're a kid and you don't know how to let it go. I mean, lots of adults don't know how to let it go. But particularly when you're a child, you know, at that sort of age, that's when your emotional map starts being formulated. And this is a place where, you know, you should feel safe. You should have firm foundations to build on. If you haven't had that, you know, it can send you in all sorts of directions. So then I just get my pendulum out. They don't have to tell me anything about it. You know, that's the beauty of it. I know, they know. And let's just get that energy out and send it back to source to be cleared. And then afterwards, they feel a lot lighter. You know, I get messages all the time saying, I don't know what you've done to me, but I woke up this morning really happy and bouncy and light. I've been singing in the shower. I haven't done that for months. You know, I feel, if I'm working with someone with no confidence, for instance, you know, they'll say, I walked down the street today, I felt like a rock star. You know, it's like, yes, finally, you know, enjoy it, swing your hips, whatever it is. You know, if they whistle to you as a, you know, from a building site, don't be embarrassed. Like, oh my goodness, is it me? Of course it's you. Turn around and just say, thank you very much. At my age, I'm really grateful. Thank you so much, boys. You made my day.
I absolutely love that. Now, let me ask you, do you find that most people who are dealing with any kind of sort of trapped energy, do you find that it usually originates from their youth, or do you find that it really can come from any moment in their lifetime?
It can come from any moment, really. And it can even come from a past life, which sounds absolutely ridiculous and out there to a lot of people. But it really can, and they can carry it over into the next life. You know, there's a reason we say history repeats itself, you know, because once energy is trapped in a negative, it gathers, you know, and then it just keeps repeating particular behaviours or cycles in your life. So that's why we need to get rid of it. And what we're actually doing is we're making space for vital force energy, which is energy direct from source into your heart space. And that's the stuff that really makes you feel great. You know, those days when you wake up, you look in the mirror and you think, yeah, I'm well over 50, but I've still got it. You know, you walk down the street, sun shining, you've got your sunglasses on, you feel like you're about 25 again. You hail a cab, you know, and it just stops, especially for you, you know, and it's a cheery cab driver. You call your client that you couldn't get hold of for like 3 weeks, and they pick up your phone, the phone, delighted to hear from you. It's exactly the right moment for you to do a spot of business that's really fortuitous, you know. It's that stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is the stuff that raises your frequency sky high. You know, this is what the cheerful, this is what the happy, this is what the really confident people are tuned into all the time. And it's hard. You know, it's really hard to stay up there because we live in a world of fear. You know, be scared of this. Switch the news on. It's all like, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. We've got to battle that out the way because source, God, whatever you want to call the great power up there, if you think about it, is in control of nature. Now, nature is always expanding. You know, why is it that you can put 50 tons of concrete on your drive and park your car on it every day, and yet a little weed will find its way out? You know, it's ever expanding. It's incredibly strong, and that's what source or God wants to happen, you know, for everything to be constantly increasing and growing in size, but in a really happy and joyful way. And here's the thing, while you're miserable and you're like, in poor me, my life's terrible, bad things happen to me. Think about this, source is, it, whatever you project out, he thinks that's what you want. So you get more of it. Whereas if you're busy being grateful, then here's something, you can't be angry, you can't be sad, you can't be jealous, can't be any of these things if you're being grateful. If you're walking around all the time going, do you know what? I know I've got a few problems at the moment, but I'm really grateful for this cup of coffee. I'm grateful for the guys who picked it, roasted it, put it on the shelf, served me at the checkout, and I'm sipping it now. I'm loving it. You are raising your vibration just by loving a cup of coffee. But, you know, the opposite end of the scale is, oh, God, I'm running out of coffee. I haven't got any money. You know, guess what? You're going to run out of coffee and you're not going to have any money. This is how it all works, but it's really simple, but it's really difficult to stay in the, you know, in the sweet spot of constantly batting everything away. Because even though I operate on quite a high frequency, I'd be totally fibbing if I said that things don't really annoy me. But unlike other people, I only let it have a hold over me for sort of like 5-10 minutes max, then it's gone. And I'm grateful for whatever it is, for getting out the way, even if it's a big disappointment, for something better to come in. That's one of the hardest ones to do.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's actually something that I think about often, and I think other people do too. And it's that idea of kind of that law of attraction, right? Or that manifestation of your desires, and it's needing to have that high level of frequency and vibration so that you attract back the things that you want to attract and you don't dwell in this negativity and then attract these negative things. But you made a comment that is so true, right? Even if we're people who are constantly staying high and optimistic and grateful, we still have moments where the world stinks, right? I like to call it a pity party for one. We all need to have that pity party for one for whatever amount of time. And I think sometimes people get very nervous that, okay, if I'm feeling bad or if I'm in my feelings, I can't be, because then I'm only going to attract these negative things. But do you think it's fair if you allow to have those emotions and those feelings, because they are true emotions and feelings, but it's a matter of how long you dwell in them or how much attention you give to them, that that's what's impacting you? if it, as far as that negative energy or attraction goes?
Oh, yeah. You know, we're human. We're in the 3D dimension, you know, and we're affected by stuff. And if you're not, you're a psychopath, frankly. So let me give you an example of this. I've been working on a project with somebody very closely for quite a long time. And they're a music producer. And we were just about to launch. We're about 2 weeks away from launching this project. And they didn't pick up the phone. They emailed me, which I just thought was very discourteous, to tell me that their music career had really taken off and they wouldn't be able to do the launch with me at all now. And we'd have to put it off up to a year. Well, I expected a bit more than that. And because I am human and because I am normal, I was furious. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't sort of, you know, say I slammed my phone down, called the person a few choice words, you know, went and had a bit of a stomp about a bit. I live in the country, drove my little mini down some windy roads really, really fast and with some very loud rap music on to sort of, you know, get it all out.
Right.
And then I came back and I thought, right, let's remember what you do for a living, shall we? Let's remember what you preach. Let's be grateful for the fact that that person has moved out of the way to let something much better come in. Hard. Very hard because I was still in. Anyway, managed to do that, managed to let it go. I'm sitting in my kitchen. It's about 10 o'clock at night and I drop my phone. It puts me onto a Clubhouse room. I haven't been on Clubhouse for about a month. I end up in this fantastic room run by Jay Nolan and a guy called Stackpack comes on. And this is quite a businessy room. And this guy's a bit hip hop, you know, he's about a bit yo, 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 what's going on, all that sort of thing. And I thought, who is this dude? Because everyone's giving him loads of respect and he's completely different to everybody else on the room. So I messaged him in the back channel, literally saying that, you know, who are you? I love your energy. And I love the fact that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, turns out it's a bit of a media mogul. The young wolf, they call him. And he is now the better person to work on this project with me. So it was like, that's how quickly it can happen. When I actually, you know, was grateful that the other person had gone out of the way, boom, straight away, somebody much better equipped to help me was brought literally to my door. You know, and it goes back to what I was saying. The source, God, whatever, wants us to succeed. So if we can keep getting back to the place where we can let things go and then think about what it is that we actually want replaced to succeed, it's a different thought pattern in our brains, which we're only using sort of 7-8% of. The other bits of it are going, oh, how can we make that happen? You know, if we can send messages telepathically to people across continents, then our brain can do a lot of other things as well. So, you know, that's what people say, you know, serendipity knocks on your door a lot, Vanessa. Yes, it does. But I make sure it does.
I love that. So it's a lot of perspective, because what I took away from that story is you had two options. You could either dwell in the frustration of the situation, or you could move on. And it was as soon as you moved on, a better opportunity was there waiting for you. So it's almost like, instead of seeing some of the negative things that happen in your life as negative, seeing it as, okay, the universe is trying to ping pong you to where you're supposed to be. So yeah, it's disappointing in the moment, but if you just hold on tight for a minute here, you might be able to see and be open to the shift that's ultimately going to be better for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's like when I got divorced, you know, my world ended. It was horrific. And to anyone that's going through that right now, my greatest sympathy, whether it's your fault or not, it's a horrible, horrible thing to go through. But after that happened, I met somebody else who was actually a much better soul match for me. And I say soul match, not soul mate. You know, things are very different. We want a match that brings out the best in you, that makes you shine brighter than you do already, and that you have the same effect on them. So, you know, it was disaster followed by fabulous gift.
I love that, because I think sometimes when we're in that moment, it's very hard to see that a fabulous gift could be coming, or that this is ultimately for our better or higher good. I think so many people struggle with that. And that's often then why we get stuck in that negative cycle, because then we don't open ourselves up to allow for the positive to come in. So I love that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's tough. It's really tough. And going back to, you know, saying it's okay to be in a bad place. Yeah, sure it is. It's natural. You know, if you're getting divorced, you might be stuck under your duvet at the moment swigging vodka. That's okay. It's okay if you do it for a week. It's not okay if you do it for a month. You are going to have to pull yourself together and face the world. But, you know, grieving, being upset, they're all processes you have to go through. It's how quickly you can get out of that.
Very true. Well, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. I want to ask you a little bit more about your work specifically. And if you wouldn't mind kind of walk me, my listeners, through, what is it like to have a session with you? What does that entail? What would it look like? Is it something that has to be done in person? Can it be done virtually?
Most of my work's done on Zoom, actually, because I've got a lot of clients in America and also in Canada. So, so basically, you'll come on a Zoom call with me. We'll have a little chat about what you think is really bugging you and how that's manifesting in your life, how you're feeling. Then I'll carry out what I call an opening ceremony. And that's to really call on all the guides, all your guides and mine, to help and guide us during the session. And also to create a space that's sealed so that it's private and safe and just for you. And the other thing we do is, the reason we do that is because when we pull the negative stuff out, we want it to go straight back to source. We don't want it hanging around. And also, if anybody pops up, like quite often people's relatives will pop up to give a word of advice or to tell you something, I don't want them hanging around afterwards. I'd like them to disappear when the session ends. So then once we've done that and you're sitting comfortably, keep your eyes open, just look at the screen, then I get my pendulum out and I'll start. And that's when you'll hear me say, is it on the left? Is it on the right? Is it line one? Is it line two? And I do this quite quickly until I get to the point where I can discover what the emotional energy is. So it might be something like self-criticism, self-doubt. Very often, you know, I laugh with clients. I'll say, you've got the whole box here. It's like, you know, bingo, because they're all quite related. And then we'll find out when it trapped. So again, I use my pendulum, you know, is it before birth? Is it past life? Is it before the age of 10, before the age of 20? And we'll get very precise. You know, it'll be, right, when you were 22, what happened to you to make you feel like you have to criticize yourself, you're never good enough, you've got a lack of self-worth, and all these things are stopping you from moving forward? This is what keeps you timid. You know, you'd like to speak up, but you don't. And they're like normally quite shocked and they'll say, I'll know what that is. And they might tell me, they might not. You know, I've got a gay client who has to tell me every single detail of whatever it is. I've got a very successful client who'll just sit there like stone and go, yes, I know what that is. That's enough. Then I get my pendulum out and I'll swing it. Well, I don't swing it around. I'll ask for the energy to be cleared and the pendulum will start to swing. And as the energy comes out of you, this is going to sound really weird, I breathe it in and yawn it out. And when I yawn it out, it's going back to source. And when the pendulum stops swinging and it will suddenly stop dead, that's when we've cleared the energy. And then I'll just check. I'll say, is all the energy clear? And normally it's quite nice and joyous. It does a little dance, like it'll really swing round. And it's like, yay, we've got rid of that bad energy. Right. Now what's next? Normally can only clear three or four things for somebody, depending on the severity of them. Mm-hmm. If it's something like child abuse, it might just be one or two. And that will be the first of several sessions that we'll have to do. But then once we've done those four, I'll do a closing ceremony to close the container, send any remnants of bad energy back up to source. And then that's it. And then you have to probably, one of two things will happen. You'll either have a real burst of energy and want to clean the house or, you know, pull your car to bits and stick it together again. Or you feel completely wiped out and have to have a lie down. Both are quite normal. You have to drink loads of water, not drink any alcohol, and if possible, not eat any meat that day. And that just allows everything to sort of come out and be cleansed and go to bed early. And the next day you'll wake up, you'll feel better. After 3 days, you'll feel a real lightness, like, you know, the weight of the world's been lifted off your shoulders. You'll start to feel really optimistic again and happy. And, you know, expecting the best as opposed to expecting the worst. And after 2 weeks, you know, when it's really had time to settle, it's quite subtle, but you'll just be feeling happier, more confident, less weighed down by things. And when I do deal with people with PTSD or, you know, violence or abuse in their backgrounds, they get to a point where it's not haunting them anymore. I can't make it not have happened to them, but I can make it not matter. So they stop looking backwards at it. It's just something that happened. It doesn't matter. And they're all about moving forwards. And that's how I work, really.
Wow. Wow. That is very powerful. So let me ask you, if somebody did want to work with you, what would be the best way of them getting in touch with you, connecting with you, scheduling with you?
Well, you can go via my website, vanessaralston.com, and you can click on the You Can Book Me link and book a discovery call. It's completely free. 30 minutes to just have a chat about, you know, what do I expect from somebody like you? Because, you know, a lot of people think I'm a bit of a woo-woo sage wafter, etc. And that some people find it quite frightening. You know, they might be religious. It might be go completely against how they've been brought up. Mm-hmm. But mostly people come on a discovery call, they're at their wits' end. They've tried everything. They've been to therapists. They've tried tablets. You know, they've meditated their backsides off and it just hasn't worked. So they just want to be sorted. They just don't want to be unhappy anymore. Just don't want to be anxious. Don't want to be depressed anymore. It's like, can you actually fix it? And it's like, yeah, I can.
And what are some of the things? I know I mentioned the childhood trauma, the anxiety or depression, but that's nowhere near all the offerings you have on your website. So what are some of the things that people do come to you that are looking for the healing in specific areas?
Well, actually, I do have a lot of people that have had child abuse in the background, so they want to be free of that. I have a lot of women come to see me that have had violent partners, you know, that have spent years being abused. And it's not just about being hit. It's about the constant being put down. So they'll come to me first to be healed, and then generally I'll work with them to reestablish their confidence. I work with service people who suffer from PTSD. You know, that's those horrible flashbacks that can cause incredibly frightening behavior for their families. And we just go back to the point that it trapped. And again, we make it not haunt them and not matter anymore. It's just something they did, something they experienced, and it's in the past. Now they're moving forward. What else? Oh, yeah. I have a lot of people come under the guise of, I just thought I'd give it a go because it might be good for some of my clients. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with me, of course. And then, you know, and this is normally men, I hate to say it. And then they're my best clients, actually, because they can't believe the change I've made. And I'll identify things that are keeping them stuck in a lack of confidence, you know, keeping them stuck in imposter syndrome. It's an awful lot of really rich, successful people that are just waiting for somebody to tap them on the shoulder and say, I know you're a fake. You know, it's incredible. And you think that you're so successful, you know, you're internationally successful. You've got so much money. And they're like, yeah, but I feel like that's going to happen anytime. Someone's going to find me out. So it's about shifting them to actually feel like they're worthy of everything they've achieved, you know, and really sometimes getting to a point where they can stop being so driven, you know, because they can accept their success. And maybe they can now shift into the retirement their wife's been waiting for years, you know, just chilling out and going traveling or something. I do Akashic Records readings. Very, very important. Who are you at a soul level? Who are you really? Because lots of people are acting out lives that aren't in alignment with who they really are. And I'll give you an example of this. I had a surgeon, fabulous, top of his game, one of the top four in his field internationally. 5 failed marriages, really miserable, anxious and depressed all the time, drinking like a fish. So we went back and we looked at his Akashic records. And he was from a family that really pushed him into, you know, you've got to have an ology, you've got to be a surgeon, you've got to be this, blah, 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 blah. What he'd actually always wanted to be was an artist. So it turned out, guess what? That his Akashic records showed that his first energy center was 5, divine communication, art, photography, writing, speaking, communicating on all sorts of levels. So I said to him, listen, you're rich enough right now to just take a sabbatical. Take a sabbatical, rent a studio, get loads of paints, go crazy. Just go mad for 6 months, see what happens. So off he went and did it. He's walking along the beach one day. He bumps into a really old friend he hasn't seen for like, I don't know, 40 years. He says, oh, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm running an art gallery in New York. He says, oh, how bizarre. I've just given everything up to be a painter. Or, you know, I've told everyone I'm taking a sabbatical. So he says, love to see your work. Pops along, thinks it's amazing. Holds a private view for him. Virtually everything sells overnight. And hey, guess what? He should have always been an artist, you know. And now he's making, and really he made serious money, but in a really short time, he's making half as much as he did as a world-class surgeon, which is still in my books an awful lot of money. So, you know, he's now met the love of his life. He's never felt like he's had love at this level. And he's enjoying life like he never has before. And thank goodness, you know, thank goodness, because he's in his 60s. He's wasted a lot of time being a people pleaser and not doing what was really true to him and, you know, how he felt in his heart.
Wow. That's an amazing story. I love stories like that because I think it also shows this level of, he kind of took a leap of faith. And sometimes I'm so afraid because we're not happy. Right? We're not happy. We feel stuck. But that idea of having to take that leap of faith, which could ultimately lead to our happiness, is also really scary. And it's almost like, well, I'll just stay back where I'm miserable, because the idea of taking that leap of faith is super scary. But sometimes it's what ends up leading to your ultimate happiness. So I love hearing a story like that, because I think it sends a really great underlying message to a lot of us too.
Well, yeah. And here's another thing. I've got a client who has been depressed for years. When I say years, like 30 years. And one of the biggest problems with lifting her, or rather shifting her out of that state, was that when we did, it felt so uncomfortable that she didn't know what to do with it, because she was used to feeling miserable all the time and using that misery as an excuse not to go out, you know, not to join in, to stay away from everybody. And now she was really nervous because she really wanted to go to that party, but she'd been withdrawing for so many years. So my job then was just to, and quite a lot of it, to be honest with you, was just giving her permission to go. You know, it's like, you can do this. You're fabulous. Go off there. Because do you really want to go back there again? You know, why don't we just give this a little go? Let's go to the party. And if we don't like it, let's leave. But I tell you what, set a little alarm on your watch for an hour once you walk in. And if when that hour rolls round, you're actually enjoying yourself, why don't we set it for another hour and see what happens? You know, she ended up staying for 4 hours, having the whale of a time, hooking up with loads of people she hadn't seen for ages, who were delighted to see her. With a lovely message the next day, you know, that was great. I was like, yeah, should we do it again this week? Should we try that out again? And it's just that sort of thing, you know, it takes baby steps. Even when you've got, you know, you've healed yourself, to shift into a different way of living. But as long as you just keep trying, it'll get better and better.
I love that. It's this concept of not having to do it all right away, but a baby step is at least in the right direction. So that is fantastic. Let me ask you this. We're getting close to the end of our time together, which I'm really sad, because I am loving sitting here. Just in your energy is just a beautiful place to sit. So I can only imagine what you're capable of doing when you're actually working on someone, because I just feel great sitting here talking with you. But I do want to ask you something I like to ask all my guests when they come on the show, is if you could give a message to youth or young adults right now who are struggling emotionally with their mental health, what message would you give to them?
Well, first of all, never forget that you're loved. you know, you're loved, you are love, and love is the highest frequency of all. But I know what it feels like to feel really depressed. I know what it feels like to feel really anxious. And you have the strength within you to change that. And loads of people like me can say things like that all the time, and it's really not going to make you any feel any better. So I'm going to give you a top tip here, which I hope will help you. Because one of the things I found really difficult to do when I was depressed, when I was anxious, and my mind was spinning with the catastrophization of every sort, was to quieten my mind, to actually meditate. So here's one of my top tricks for you. Get somewhere really comfortable. Lying or sitting down, it doesn't really matter. But get your fingers together like you always see people do on meditations. You know, your first couple of fingers and your thumbs, get those together. That's the power of three. You know, that's help straight away. Then with your eyes closed, look up as you start to count back from 10 to zero. And do it slowly, you know, really pull in your breath, hold it at the top, and really breathe it out very, very slowly until you've got no breath left. And repeat the process all the time that you're counting backwards from 10 to zero. Now, remember to keep your eyes raised with your eyes closed at about 20 degrees. Now, what will start happening is you'll start drifting into alpha zone, which is a really good, refreshing place to be, really calming. And you'll start to see beautiful, beautiful colours. Just sit there for a while and let that calm wash over you. Set an alarm before you do this for 15 minutes. 15 minutes is going to catapult you into something fabulous. You're going to feel so much better after it. Stay in that space. Look at the beautiful colours. You don't have to do anything. Just enjoy being there and feel your body relax as you're there. Then when your alarm goes off, count backwards from five. So five, coming back into my body. Four, I'm back in my body. Three, open your eyes. Two, get used to the light. One, you're back in the room. And this is when you say it. I feel better than I did before. Thank you. And you will start to feel better. Now, if you can practice that for 10 to 15 minutes every day, I promise you that your depression and your anxiety will start to lift. But it does take practice. One session won't do it. And you still might find it quite difficult to do. But just keep doing it. Because getting into that alpha state is, oh, it's such a game changer. It really will be the start of you taking those baby steps out of anxiety and depression.
Wow. I could say that just sitting here listening to you walk through the exercise made me feel much more relaxed and better. So I could only imagine sitting and actually going through the exercise, how I would feel. Well, Vanessa, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show today. I absolutely adore what you do. I think it is incredibly important. I really encourage everybody who's listening to please check out Vanessa. Please check out her website, VanessaElston.com. The link is in the show notes. And I just, again, thank you so much for your time and your energy and coming on the show today.
It's my absolute pleasure. And it's a beautiful show. And just thank you very much. Love and light to everybody.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you to all my listeners for joining me today. And I will see you next week on the Neurodiverse Teacher. Bye, everyone. The Neurodiverse Teacher podcast is an Eccleston Education Consulting, LLC production.